Refreshing, we have a new theme. You're entering the spiritual splash zone. That was someone from here came up with that. So that's pretty awesome. So how are you doing today? How's everybody doing today? Awesome. Say, God is good. I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. And we're going to look at this a little bit. In watching for signs, watch for these signs. Matthew chapter 24. And I just want you to know that we thank you for your faithful giving in your tithes and your offerings. And I just want to say that, you know, the tithe is holy to the Lord, so it ought to be holy to us. Amen? And we shouldn't mess with that, but we should give the Lord what's His and what's required, and He will bless you for that. You found Matthew 24? All right, let's begin in verse 1 of Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Notice the disciples who were Jewish believers. All of the disciples that were traveling with Jesus were Jews. They were they spoke Hebrew and probably maybe another language or two, probably Greek a little bit too. And they were asking him, what shall be the sign of his coming? Are you watching for the signs? You know, when you're traveling on a road and you want to get to somewhere that you've never been, you have a map, but also on your exits and on your streets, they're clearly marked. They're signs that you can follow so that you can get to your destination. And just like there are signs to follow on the highway, the Lord has given us signs to look to that point to His coming, that point to His appearing. And we've been talking about this for 2 months. Now, you shouldn't be fearful. You shouldn't worry about what's coming. You shouldn't have any dread or concern about it, because if you put your trust in the Lord, you shall be delivered. Amen? And he goes on to say, verse 4, he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. You know, if you're watching out for signs, you got to be sure that the signs, you know, because when I lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they would have the same name of the street, place, avenue, and so it would have the three names. The only thing different would be the lane or the street or the avenue, but it'd all be the same name. And sometimes I worked for a carpet company for 6 months, and sometimes I'd be turning on place when I should have been turning on street, and you don't get to the right destination. But see, there's going to be people that are going to try to deceive you. There's going to be a massive deception in the end times. And the Lord is telling you, He's warning you ahead, take heed that no man deceive you. Amen? And we're going to find out that the best way to keep from being deceived is stay with the truth. Do not depart from the truth. Amen? So I want to talk to you a little bit about this. We're going to talk about be not deceived. We're going to talk about the opposition of the persecution of Christianity. We're going to talk about the rise of the Antichrist and a little bit about the tribulation. And then I'm going to give you some, just a list of things that are going to happen in the end times. Amen. I'm not going to give you when or what. I'm not going to go into great detail about that. But I'm just going to kind of give you a bird's eye view. Amen. But I find it interesting here how he says, Jesus here says, take heed that no man deceive you. See, deception is going to come through a man. It's going to come through humanity. Amen. And Jesus himself said there's going to be false teachers and false prophets. And where are they going to come from? From among you. You know, I've encountered a lot of people that have gotten deceived. And the whole purpose of deception is to lead you astray, is to lead you away from the truth. And if Satan can get in one place in your life, he can bring deception and you'll get off course. Deception is designed to knock you off course. But thank God that God has given us the truth, amen? And his truth is a deceit detector. You know, you cannot fool the truth. You can't fool the Holy Spirit, amen? And thank God that God's given us the tools. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, Satan is the one. We know from Revelation 12, 11 that he went out into the world to deceive the world or to lead them astray. Satan is the deceiver. His main weapon against believers is deception. And he's the father of lies. The truth is not in him. And his goal is to lead you astray. And he's got various means by that he can do that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. There's a verse here. It says, be not deceived. Is that a suggestion or a command? The Lord says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And another verse says, evil companionships or communion and associations corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character. And if God wants to bless you, he'll put a person in your life. If Satan wants to destroy you, he'll put a person in your life. How many know that Satan got a hold of Korah? And he came against Moses and he said, Moses, you take too much on you. And he said, we can hear from God just like you. And what happened to Korah? The earth swallowed him up and all of his stuff. Amen? Because God's glory came and said, I will speak to whom I will speak. And I'm gonna, and the person I manifest to, that's the one who I've chosen to hear me. And so you got to watch who you associate with. You got to watch who your companions are, because evil communications corrupt good manners. Your associations, people will either bring you up or bring you down. Everybody in your life is like an elevator going up or down. Amen? And you got to watch, because deception will come through a person. Jesus said, let no man deceive you. Amen? Because who you're listening to, what does it mean to be deceived? This was interesting from the Strong's. It said, to roam from safety, truth, or virtue. Very interesting. It means to go astray or to wander, to be out of the way. And a word that's similar is deceit. It means the intentional misleading or beguiling of another. And the Bible includes deceit with many other things that are called wicked. So deceit is a very harmful thing, but not for someone who adheres to the truth. When you stick with the truth, it is your shield against deceit. When you stick with the truth and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you will not be deceived. Amen? If Jesus said, be not deceived, then we have a choice as to whether or not we are. Because if you are deceived, you're not going to know it. A person who is deceived thinks they are right. But this is in connection with what's happening in the end times. There's going to be a widespread deception and deceit. You know, back in the late 80s, they handed me a book on 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 1988. Well, it's 2009, and that hasn't happened yet, so guess what? That was false information. And I didn't buy into it anyway. I was too much into breakdancing in the late 80s. Yeah, I taught myself how to breakdance. I watched some breakdance movies about 15 times until I could learn some moves. And I used to dress like Miami Vice, you know? I used to like the pull-up jackets, you know, and the shoes with no socks. And I used to have a pair of red pants and some red socks. Aren't you glad I progressed? Amen? My wife is glad too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 7. He says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus can destroy the works of the devil, he can destroy deception. Amen? And how does he do it? With his light, with his brightness, with his glory. That's how when light comes in, darkness says, I'm getting out of here. But I want you to notice, righteous is as righteous does. That's some Forrest Gump philosophy. You know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. How are you going to tell if someone is deceptive? Look at the fruits of their life. Watch them over a period of time, and that will tell you whether or not they're for real or not. And believe me, when you're in a spiritual war, which we are in, well, I didn't sign up for it. Yes, you did. You're in it whether you signed up for it or not. God, hate to break that news to you. You're in a war whether you signed up for it or not. You weren't even drafted, but that's just how it is. There is a war going on today. It's a war of darkness and light, of what's right and what's wrong, of the truth and lies. And Satan is the general of the army of darkness. And he uses deception as a tool. And once again, the Bible says, let no man deceive you. Because he said, he that does righteousness is righteous, even as he, with a big H. When you pattern your life after Jesus, you will not deceive people. Amen. Jesus is not a deceiver. Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life. He is the truth. We have the Spirit of truth. He said, you're sanctified by the truth. The truth is my word. So the word and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they all work together in truth. But Satan wants to get you away from that. And he does it by deception. All right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11. And let's look at verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knows, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Hence UFOs. I'm not going to go there, though. Oh, I saw. Do you know that the Mormons were started because an angel appeared to him? And he was supposed to be given these golden tablets, never to be found yet. And I'm not going to, I've said this before, but if you just take the eye off of Moroni, what do you have? Someone who's deceived. And verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't go around with a pitchfork, with red horns and all that stuff. He tries to disguise himself. He wants to be so much like God because his heart's desire was to exalt himself above God's throne. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. Iniquity was found in his heart, and he tried to exalt himself. That's a key if someone's trying to deceive you. Do they talk more about themselves or do they talk more about the Lord? That's an indication. That's why John, over in 1 John, he says, try the spirits. Not every spirit is from God. Not every experience is godly. Just because an angel appeared to you and they had an angelic choir that was singing and the trumpets were playing doesn't mean that that's God talking. You got to try the spirits. You got to see if they line up with the Word. Don't just rest on your experience. Because if you rest on your experience, you'll be deceived. You'll be led astray. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, the Bible says we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen? God has equipped us. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. And this all relates to the end times. Jesus, Matthew 24, talks about some things that are going to happen in the end times. And the first thing he says is, let no man deceive you. So this is important. I don't want you to be deceived. That's why I'm telling you about it now. Ephesians 4. And look at verse 14. This is talking about the ministry, the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now look at verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The cure for deception is the truth. Speaking the truth in love. Amen. If you're speaking the truth out of anger, you're missing the love part. So many times, things aren't working in our life because we're missing the love part. For people who don't tithe, it's simply they don't love God enough to trust Him. But He said, He doesn't want you to be children. See, when deception comes in, you're like being tossed like a wind. It's like you're caught in a wave in the ocean and you can't get out. You're being tossed from one side to the other. It's turbulent, it's violent, and eventually you'll drown. But the truth is your life preserver. The truth, it gets thrown into those waters that are going back and forth, and it rescues you. It pulls you out. It puts your feet on. It pulls you up from the miry clay and sets your feet upon a rock. We have to plant our lives on the rock. Okay? Jesus said, let no man deceive you. Matthew 24. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. What's a vain word? It's a word that's spoken well but has no substance. It sounds good, it looks good, but there's nothing behind it. It's vain, it's empty. Amen? And you know, the devil is a smooth talker. He can make this clunker of a car sound really good. See, that's the devil's job. He tries to paint sin as something good. It's something wonderful. It'll feel good, but when you get in it, it destroys your life. He doesn't tell you that part. They don't show the beer commercials where people are hugging the toilet. They don't show that part, but it happens to people. And then eventually, when they get into that lifestyle, it takes over their life and they become a slave to it. See, that's Satan's goal. He wants you to be a slave. That's why he uses deception. He tries to paint a pretty picture, but let me tell you, behind the picture, it's falling apart. You got to look beyond the picture. You got to look beyond what you see with your natural realm, and you got to look into the spirit. We have to be vigilant about not letting us be deceived. Men, don't let your families be deceived. Because deception will cause a lot of problems in the future. What if Abraham would have never been with Hagar? What if he would have said no? What if Adam would have told that serpent, get out of this garden right now? Where would we be today? We have the authority to say no. Amen? So you got to watch to make sure that there's nothing against the truth that's happening. Let no man deceive you. If someone deceives you, whose fault is it? Somewhere along the line, I got off the truth and I got deceived. I gave place to Satan. And deception come in, and now it seems like I'm so far away, and it's hard for me to get back. You know, it's like climbing a mountain sometimes. Sometimes it feels like it's hard to get back. God wants you back, and you're trying to get back, but you're caught up. You're being tossed to and fro. Come on now. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Someone who disobeys left the truth, didn't they? They stopped doing the truth for whatever reason. And when you stop doing the truth, what's left to do? Deception. Something that is not real. Something that was planned. What if David would have went to battle when he was supposed to be in battle? Instead, the Bible says it was at a time when kings were supposed to go to war, but David stayed home. And he got restless one night, and he walked out on the balcony of the palace, and he saw Bathsheba there, and he was set up. He was deceived. And the devil set that up, and he fell. And not only did he fall, but he also committed murder. He tried to cover it up, and it cost him a lot of things. It cost him some future things. It was what his sons did was a direct result of what he did. That was seed that he sowed. Even though he was forgiven, amen, he was deceived into taking that action. The devil set him up. Go to 2 Peter. I didn't intend to spend this much time. I got to get going here on this. But I don't want you to be deceived, amen? I want you to be so rooted and grounded in the word that when the devil comes knocking at your door, you say, Jesus, why don't you get that door? And when Jesus opens the door and Satan sees him and he's gone, all you see is a cloud of dust. He said, I'm out of here. Isn't that what the angel of death did when he saw the blood on the door in Egypt? Oh yeah, he saw the blood on the door. He said, oh, I can't come in this house. I can't pass that bloodline. I got to go somewhere else. The bloodline protected them from the spirit of death. And the blood will protect you too. Get under the blood and stay under the blood. Stay hooked to Christ. Stay in the Word of God. Because believe me, there is a lot of junk out there. Pastor Fiona and I, we just encountered some junk. A person spoke for an hour and a half and said vain words. They said nothing of any value whatsoever. But it was called a Christian. It was called, but it was designed to lead people astray. And if you weren't rooted and grounded in the truth, you'd be confused. I'm telling you. I don't get nervous anymore when I see churches in the thousands, because size doesn't always tell the whole truth. Amen? There's a lot of things that aren't necessarily right with big churches. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't want to be big. Amen? I don't have a small mentality. I'm believing for God to do whatever he wants to do. God multiplied the church. He added to their number. In Deuteronomy 1:11, he says, I'll make you 1,000 times more. But I want you strong. Part of our vision is to build a strong body of believers, people who aren't deceived. They can avoid deception. They can stick with the truth. That's what our goal is. I want you strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not my might. Don't you be quoting what the pastor says. Say what Jesus said. Amen? Because I might have said it wrong. Pastor said something wrong? Yeah. When's the last time you said something wrong? See, when you point your finger at me, you got three pointing back at yourself, so don't point. 2 Peter chapter 1, or chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, or their shameful ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. See, so you can see how destructive deception is. Say this with me. Say, deception is destructive. Because you won't know you're being destroyed until destruction comes. Amen? Say, I will not be deceived. Say, I'm not going to let any man deceive me. I'm sticking with the truth. I'm sticking with the Word. I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. I'm connected to my church. I'm building on the rock. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you got to fight deception. All right, let's go back to Matthew 24. You could read Matthew 24, Luke 21 and Mark 13, and they're all talking about the same thing. All right? What was the question that his disciples asked him? What will be the sign of your coming? Number one, he said, be not deceived. Don't let any man deceive you. All right? Let's go down a little further. Verse 5, he said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. We know a lot of cults that have risen up, saying that they were the Christ, or that Christ was coming, and they ended up in destruction. Verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Say, I'm not troubled. I'm not disturbed. See, yeah, we're hearing these reports. We're hearing wars and rumors of wars, but the Bible says, be not troubled. I like that. Amen? For nation shall rise against nation. He said, these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Say, the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. And I looked at the word pestilence, and it speaks of disease. Verse 8, all these are the beginning. Say, the beginning of sorrows. Look at verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Hey, do you want to be on my team? You're going to be hated by all nations. I don't think I want to be on your team. They're going to kill you. They're going to persecute you. I don't want to be on your team. Think about this. This is what Jesus told his disciples. I want to read something to you about some of the apostles and how they were persecuted. There's going to be an increase of persecution in the last days. You know, if you're a believer in China, you have to meet in a secret place. You can't meet at the same place. You can only go by word of mouth. You got to meet in different places, but the underground church in China is thriving because persecution grows the church. Listen, James the Great. This was from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. He was James, the son of Zebedee. And it was not until 10 years after the death of Stephen that the second martyrdom took place. For no sooner had Herod Agrippa been appointed governor of Judea than with a view to ingratiate himself with them, he raised a sharp persecution against the Christians and determined to make an effectual blow by striking at their leaders. James, I believe, was the pastor at Jerusalem, or it might have been the Lord's brother. He said, the primitive writer Clemens Alexandrinus, James was led to the place of martyrdom. His accuser was brought to repent of his conduct by the apostles' extraordinary courage and undauntedness. His accuser was bringing him to be killed, and in the midst of knowing he was going to die because he believed in Jesus, he had courage and he was undaunted, and his accuser repented. So his accuser fell down at his feet to request his pardon, professing himself a Christian and resolving that James should not receive the crown cheerfully of martyrdom alone. Hence, they were both beheaded at the same time. Are you willing to lose your head for Jesus? I am. This is how we got to be. And if you're not doing the basic things that you're supposed to do, you're not going to lose your head. I'll tell you that right now. Because if you're not faithful in the little, God's not going to make you ruler over much. Jesus spoke of persecution, right? Philip was born of Bethsaida of Galilee. He was the first called by the name of disciple. He labored in Asia, and he suffered martyrdom in Heliopolis. He was scourged, thrown into prison, and afterwards crucified. Matthew, tax collector, gospel writer. He was born in Nazareth. He wrote his gospel in Hebrew, which was after translated into Greek by James the Less. He labored in Parthia and Ethiopia, and which he suffered martyrdom, being slain with a halberd in the city of Nadaba in AD 60. I don't know what that is. James the Less. He was elected to the oversight of the churches. Okay, he was the pastor at Jerusalem. He was the author of the epistle ascribed to his name, James. At the age of 94, he was beat and stoned by the Jews and finally had his brains dashed out with the Fuller's Club because he believed in Jesus. Jesus said in the last days, there's going to be persecution. Now, he was talking to a group of Jews. These people were after Jesus spoke Matthew 24, okay? Andrew, he was the brother of Peter. He preached the gospel to many in Asiatic nations, but on his arrival at Edessa, he was taken and crucified on a cross, and the two ends of which were fixed transversely in the ground, hence the derivation of the term St. Andrew's cross. I guess it was upside down, same as Peter was. Mark, Gospel of Mark, he was born of Jewish parents of the tribe of Levi. He was supposed to have been converted to Christianity by Peter when he served as a man, whatever that word is, and under the inspection he wrote his gospel in the Greek language. Mark was dragged to pieces by the people of Alexandria of the great solemnity of Serapis, their idol, ending his life under their merciless hands. Peter, we know Peter, he was crucified upside down at his own request because he didn't want to be like the Lord in his crucifixion, so he chose to be crucified upside down. Paul, the apostle, after his great travail and unspeakable labors in promoting the gospel, he suffered also this first persecution under Nero. People came to him. He desired to pray for them that they might believe. Who told them that shortly after they should believe and be baptized at a sepulcher? The soldiers came and led him out of the city to the place of execution, where he, after his prayers made, gave his neck to the sword. So Paul had his head cut off. Jude, the brother of James, he was crucified at Edessa. Bartholomew preached in several countries, and having translated the Gospel of Matthew into the language of India, he propagated in that country. He was at length cruelly beaten and then crucified by the impatient idolaters. Thomas, called Didymus, preached the gospel in Parthia and India, where, exciting the rage of the pagan priests, he was martyred by being thrust through with a spear. Luke, author of the book of Luke, he traveled with Paul through various countries and is supposed to have been hanged on an olive tree by the idolatrous priests of Greece. Simon, named Zelotes, preached the gospel in Africa and even in Britain, which later country he was crucified. And John, they tried to boil John in oil, but it didn't work. So they couldn't kill John, so they had to exile him to Patmos, where he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. Someone say amen. Thank God for these people who did not reject Jesus Christ in the face of death. They held on to their confession of hope. They would not turn. They would not give in. They would not compromise. You say, take my life because I got an eternal one waiting for me. Take my life and this is graduation day for me. Jesus said in Matthew 10, he said, believers will be flogged, but they'll take you before councils and flog you and persecute you. He said, in Acts chapter 4, the people were disturbed at the preaching of the resurrection. They commanded people, don't preach of the resurrection anymore. And they would beat them, they would imprison them, but they couldn't keep the message down. Amen? Amen. I don't care what they do to me, I'll preach. I'll pray in the name of Jesus. Amen? Well, that's against the law, not God's law. Whose law are you operating in by? Sometimes you got to go by a higher law. Amen? Herod killed James. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Are you still with me? Sometimes if you get a chance to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it tells you how a lot of people lost their life because they refused to deny Christ. Let's practice not denying him now while we're alive, so that when we're faced with death, it's going to be an easy decision. Amen? But it's not going to be so easy if you haven't been practicing. Start confessing before people that you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that Jesus can help you, he can touch you, he can save you, he's redeemed you, his blood has cleansed you from sin. Let's not be ashamed of Jesus. Let's not be ashamed of being a believer in Christ. We should not let the world dictate. We should not let stores say, Happy Holiday. We should say, Merry Christmas. It's about Christ. But the problem is, a lot of the church has been deceived into accepting these things. Little by little. Oh, we'll take God off of here. We'll take the name of Jesus off here. We'll take prayer out of school here. What was it, 1962? How did the church ever let that happen? The church was sleeping in 1962, I think. I wasn't born yet, so. What were y'all doing in 1962? Come on. You let the devil come in. 1 Peter chapter 4. And let's go to verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Did you know that you signed up for a fiery trial? That's not a heated debate either. That's a dislike because you have associated yourself with Jesus Christ. Did you know that the world is against God? That they're in the world system today, Satan is the god of this world, and Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you too. So be prepared that not everybody is going to say, oh good, you're a Christian. Sometimes you're going to get some adversity. You're going to get some opposition. You're going to get some persecution. But the Lord told you ahead of time so that you can be prepared, and it's going to even increase as we go on. I just love how Peter writes this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. I could see someone with a southern accent. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. I love the southern accent, But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you are reproached or insulted for the name of Christ, happy are you. When someone criticizes you for being a Christian, just smile and be happy. Say, thank you, Lord. When they got beat in Acts chapter 4, they rejoiced considering they thought it was great to get beaten for Christ. They thought it was a good thing. For the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. When the world persecutes you, God's glory comes upon you. Because God will say, don't mess with my kids. Amen. His glory will show up because he's a protector of those who trust in him. He said, I'm a shield and a buckler to you. What's a shield? A shield protects you. It defends you, right? A buckler holds your armor up. It holds things in place. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. If you suffer because you're sticking your nose in places where it doesn't belong, that's your own fault. That doesn't glorify God. Walking in righteousness, walking in love, walking in faith, walking in truth, being patient, long-suffering, those are the things that glorify God. Listen, there were a lot of righteous people that worked for wicked people in the Bible, and they did great works. There was a prophet during the days of Baal. He hid like 200 prophets in a cave and fed them bread and water, and he worked for Ahab. How many know that you might be at your job for a reason? God might need someone to hide some prophets where you work. He might need someone to give them bread and water, give them the word, pray for them, pray for your place of employment. He might have placed you there for that very, very reason. Because light works best in a dark place. Amen? If you're around a bunch of lights, you can't see how well you shine. But if you're in darkness, whoo, you light the path. You're like when the spotlight hit Liberace's coat, you know, shined and all that. I don't even know where that came from. It's a strange day today. Verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Say, not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Oh, you didn't think that you were first in line for judgment, did you? But judgment begins in God's house. Why do you think Jesus got so angry when he went into the temple and they were selling, they were trading, they were carrying on, and he went in there with a whip, he overturned tables, he knocked over the money changers, he opened the cages, he cleared the temple out. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He said, the zeal of the Lord has consumed him. He went in there to clean house. So you don't think God cleans house anymore? Oh, yeah, you can see people who were here aren't here. Why? Because sometimes God is cleaning house. And in sometimes they would have been deceived or led astray for whatever reason. And if you have a question about anybody who left, come and ask me or Pastor Fiona. And we'll tell you. Don't talk amongst yourselves. Amen? I need some more amens about that. You know what? We're to walk in love. And we're to take the forgiveness that God has given us and extend that to others. So we're not here to kick people when they do wrong. When they're down, we don't kick them when they're down. Amen? You know, the Bible says we should go in the spirit of meekness to someone who has fallen to restore them. But you got to go in meekness so that what happened to them doesn't happen to you. You got to guard your heart. Amen? Listen, I would love to be able to go to some people and bring them back myself, but I cannot. I can pray. I can believe God, but they have a choice to make. Amen? And for the record, I have never in 7 years ever told anybody to leave, ever, and I never will, because God deals with them. Amen. And that is the truth. And I could give you some horror stories of things that Pastor Fiona and I have encountered, because we love God and we're trying to do his work and do this church. Because you know what? Satan does not like what is happening here. And he will oppose it. He will operate deception. He will use manipulation. He will use intimidation to try to stop what's taking place here. But I tell you what, God has put me here, and only God can move me from here. And I will be willing to stand throughout all the opposition. I'll be able to stand because I'll let it roll off my back like water off a duck's back, because I'm not moving until the Lord says go. The Lord put me here and he's got a purpose for it, and this church is going to fulfill its purpose. We're going to affect this region with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost, because there's a lot of places in this region that don't even believe in the gifts or the power of the Holy Ghost. That's one of our distinctions. And I'm not ashamed about it. Amen? It's a strange day today. I've been up since 1:30 this morning. Go to John 15. John 15. You know, as a believer in Christ, you have to be able to stand. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, having done all to stand, stand. How do you stand when you've done all to stand? In the power of the Lord and the power of his might, not on your own strength. Amen? Believe me, if it was my own strength, I'd have been gone a long time ago. But I rely on the Lord to strengthen me. He is the rock of my salvation. He is my chief cornerstone. He is my strong tower. And when I run to him, I am find safety. John 15, verse 19. Well, go back to verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Hence, the love for Hollywood. But because you are not of the world, say, I'm not of the world. But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Can you say amen? God chose you out of the world to be on his winning team. He said, I want you, I want you. So if any man rejected you, if any woman rejected you, you can rest assured that the Lord accepts you. He has chosen you. He has chosen you. And he put his hand upon you, and he brought you out of darkness, and he translated you into the kingdom of light and his dear son. If you were of the world, verse 19, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. For if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Persecution comes because they don't know the one who sent you. And then, let's go back to Matthew 24, and I'm going to close here. And he goes on in verse 13, he said, But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen? And you got to understand now for something. He's talking to a group of Jews. He's not talking to the church yet, because these group of Jews, of disciples, didn't even foresee a church age coming, because they were surprised that Cornelius got the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that they did 10 years after the day of Pentecost. They could not see what God wanted to do with the church age. Okay? Keep that in mind. So if you can endure, you'll be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Say, then the end. So if there's still people that need to hear the gospel, God is still giving us a few more minutes on the clock, a few more seconds in the final quarter, and we got to get the gospel preached, amen? That's why witnessing is so important. One person cannot reach a whole region, but many can. You know people I don't know. You can reach people I can't reach. So start reaching. Start extending out your hand, amen? Begin praying. Ask the Lord what he would have you do. Ask the Lord where he would have you go. Ask the Lord what he would have you say. It's so simple. God's not going to send you out to battle without a battle plan. And look at verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. What is the abomination of desolation? It is when the Antichrist, who becomes a world leader, who enters into a covenant with Israel, and after 3.5 years, he breaks that covenant, and he desecrates the temple. He does something to defile the temple. That's when you know things are about to get cooking. That's called the Great Tribulation. All right? Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm almost finished. I'm getting there. Amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that's the rapture, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Say, I'm not shaken. So you're not deceived, you're not troubled, and you're not shaken, but you are stirred. Amen? Stir yourself up in the gift of God. Or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. So guarding against deception runs throughout all the end time scriptures. Notice, by any means. If someone wants to put a mark on your right hand, on your forehead, just say no. You ain't putting nothing on my right hand or my forehead. Don't receive that. That's the mark of the beast. You don't want that. Amen? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. There's going to be a lot of Christians that fall away because they weren't rooted and grounded in the truth. And they got deceived. And that man of sin be revealed. That man of sin is referring to the Antichrist. Now, there's an Antichrist spirit already in the world, but there's going to come a person in power known as the Antichrist, and he will be possessed by Satan, and he will be in a world leadership role. There's going to be one government and one religion. I wish I could go into detail about this, but I just don't have time, so I just got to give you some highlights. Film at 11, amen. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, little g. Remember you not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. What do you think is holding him from being revealed at this time? The Holy Spirit and the church. Amen? Those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to come a time, though, when we're going to be taken out. If you, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the trump of God, there'll be a mighty voice of the archangel, and he'll call, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air with him. That's the rapture. We're going to be with Jesus. Amen? One time, he comes for his saints, and then another time he comes with his saints to do battle at Armageddon and destroy the beast. Amen? So this Antichrist, Daniel chapter 7 talks about him. He comes out of the 10 kings, which is the Roman Empire. He's described as a little horn, as the beast, as the false shepherd, he's called. And he's going to rise to power. And he's going to have influence, and he's going to promote peace. And during the covenant that he enters into Israel, they're going to rebuild the temple. They're going to start doing sacrifices in Jerusalem. Let me just go over some things that is going to happen. This is not in any particular order, okay? It's on the back of your bulletin. The church will be removed in the rapture, all right? And yes, we are awaiting that blessed hope, but we live every day as if he's coming tomorrow. Just because there's a rapture doesn't mean you can have loose living, that you can let go, that you can be undisciplined. No. You gotta keep your discipline. You gotta guard your heart. You gotta stand and fight the good fight of faith. You gotta lay hold to eternal life, and you gotta profess a good confession before many witnesses. Then the Antichrist will rise to power as a world leader. Okay? The daily sacrifice will be restored in Jerusalem. Judgments from the seven seals and the seven trumpets will occur. Some say, like, in the first 3.5 years, there's going to be judgments of the trumpets and the seals. Okay? You can read about that in Revelation. The Antichrist will break his covenant after 3.5 years and defile the temple. And then the persecution of Israel will increase. because everybody's going to be after Israel. It's so small as a nation anyway, and everybody wants a piece of it. Because it's God. When God puts his hand on something, when God puts his name on something, when God gives something a promise, the devil is jealous. Because the devil wants that to be him. He offered Jesus, he said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these nations. Jesus said, no, because I'm going to rule over you anyway. He didn't say that, but that's just the Pastor Doug interpretation, amen? He was like Clint Eastwood, go ahead, make my day. It's not in my notes, I'll tell you, reference Clint. 144,000 Jews will be sealed, and the tribulation saints who were beheaded will be taken to heaven in Revelation 7. How are they going to be beheaded? Because when the Antichrist changes in 3.5 years, he's going to cause the image of the beast to speak and to act. And people are going to say, ooh, they're going to start worshiping the beast. And the beast is going to then initiate a mark on the right hand or the forehead, and you can only buy and sell through that mark. And people who refuse the mark will be beheaded. Amen? So if someone offers to put something on your right hand or your forehead, just say no. Why right hand and forehead? Well, some people don't have a right hand, but everybody has a forehead. Think about that. Okay? Then the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet are going to be in total control, and that's when they're going to introduce the mark of the beast, Revelation chapter 10. Or 13. Judgment comes from the seven vials of God's wrath during this time. Revelation 15 and 16. Judgment comes upon the harlot, the mystery Babylon, which some say is apostate religion. See, when there's going to be a one world government and a one world religion, that religion is going to be corrupt. Because it's going to do things to please the Antichrist. It's going to be a whole deception. They're going to have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Amen? You don't want to be in a place that denies power. Listen, God works from the inside out, not the outside in. Man works from the outside in. God works from the inside out. You can put any kind of label on an empty can. That doesn't mean there's anything in the can. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, people lay empty hands on empty heads, and nothing happens. Then the kings of the east and the armies of the beast, they make war with Israel. This is called Armageddon. And the saints celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Christ comes with his saints to confront the beast, and he's destroyed with the brightness of his coming. Woo, he's going to be so bright. It's going to be like the devil's going to be like a front row seat on the Nassau space shuttle, but even brighter than that. And the beast will be destroyed with the brightness, the glory of his coming. And then the beast and the false prophet are cast in the lake of fire. And then Satan is cast in the bottomless pit. And there's going to be 1,000 years where Jesus is going to reign on earth and we're going to reign with him. It's called the millennium because there's no word for the millennium in the Bible, but the 1,000-year period, millennium. Okay? And then after that, Satan is going to be released. And then everybody who was born during the millennium will have a chance to accept or reject Christ. And then the final judgment will come. And Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. And then the dead will be at the white throne. All the wicked will be at the great white throne judgment. But the saints will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where he gives rewards, at the judgment seat. Okay, so that's just kind of a quick synopsis of things. And you're like, huh? I see some of these looks like. Listen, you're not troubled. You're not deceived, and you're not worried about all this. Why? Because you're rooted and grounded in the truth. You're adhering to the rock of your salvation, which is Jesus Christ. You're listening to the Holy Spirit. Amen? But I want you to take a moment to consider your life. Ask yourself, are you doing all that God wants you to do? Are you following his commandments? Obeying his statutes? Are you alive in Christ, or are you dead in works? Salvation does not come through works. You can't be good enough. Salvation is a gift. It's given by Jesus Christ to everyone who will confess Him as Lord, recognize Him as God's Son, and invite Him into their hearts. And I think the month of December, our theme is going to be the goodness of God. So, you're not deceived, you're not troubled, and you're not moved with all this stuff that's going to happen. Why? Because you're holding on to the rock. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before You today, Lord, and we thank You that You are a great and awesome God, and You have ordained us to be here at this time, living in this hour, Father, because You have a purpose and a plan for our life. And Lord, I ask You to manifest Yourself in our lives right now. Manifest Yourself in our hearts right now. Show Yourself strong on our behalf, Father, whose hearts are loyal to You. We cry out to You, Father, that You would open doors of opportunity for us to minister the gospel to every creature in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray over this region, Father, over Lebanon County and the surrounding counties, Father, and we say this belongs to the Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus, Father. We ask You to forgive us in the areas that we have missed the mark, that we have disobeyed, that we have not followed You with our whole hearts, Father. We repent and we ask You to forgive us, Father, because You're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only the blood of Jesus can wipe away the stain of sin. Only the blood of Jesus can make you white as snow. Only the blood of Jesus can redeem your soul from the pit. Only the blood of Jesus can give you eternal life. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want you to stand up.